A decision made by the City of Surprise's City Council is raising some concerns for those in the city of Phoenix. Surprise lawmakers passed the city's first so-called urban camping ordinance, which will make it illegal for people to, quote, camp or store their personal goods in places like public parks. It's aimed at homeless encampments that have had some Surprise residents concerned, according to Seth Dyson, Human Services and Community Vitality Department Director for the City of Surprise. But Phoenix City Council member Kate Gallego said this is Surprise, quote, exporting their homeless problem to Phoenix. And Councilmember Michael Nowakowski asked, what will happen to these individuals when there are no more shelter beds left for them? I spoke with Dyson earlier this morning more about the motivation behind this new law.
So at one of our local parks, people were finding it difficult to use amenities like the Ramadas because they're filled with shopping carts, treasures, other belongings for those experiencing homelessness for extended periods of time. So the city wanted to find a way to not only create a better shared environment, but to connect people who may be experiencing homelessness in need to resources and ensure, you know, our health and safety for all of our community so everyone can access the parks.
Yeah, yeah. I know that the ordinance says it takes a services first approach. What does that mean?
How the ordinance is drafted is that the first engagement with someone maybe in violation of the ordinance would be to check in on them to say, how are you? You know, how did you get here? What can we help you with? What are you in search of, in need of, if anything? And so based on their response, you know, it could be, well, I'm interested in a shower, or I'm interested in food, or I'm interested in helping find a job, or I'm interested in potentially housing. We can make those referrals and those services available.
Mm-hmm. What about some of the reaction that this got in the Phoenix City Council, that this sort of puts the burden of care and shelter services in particular on that city because you presumably don't have the shelter beds available in Surprise to probably house many of these people?
Yeah, I can't really comment to the city of Phoenix's response, but what I can share is that we do work with other regional partners because we know homelessness doesn't have boundaries, and that's clear. So we work very closely with other nonprofits, those in and outside of Phoenix. Doesn't matter where the nonprofit's located, if they can help us provide services to our residents. Some examples, we work with a nonprofit in Glendale that has been able to house some of our individuals we found experiencing homelessness, and they accepted services in. We've even worked with a couple groups in Mesa. In fact, we invest in Central Arizona Shelter Services, mm-hmm. CAS, the shelter as a city. We have a small investment in UMOM, which is helping the whole region with coordinated entry. We work with MAG, who operates the Continuum of Care. And specifically, we're working with other West Valley cities. We're starting and continuing conversations about what do homeless services look like in the West Valley?
Do you think that opens you up to sort of legal issues or challenges if the city is enforcing an ordinance like this but doesn't have the shelter services to support it?
So we looked at other best practices out there, and in a legal setting, it looks like how we've drafted this meets all of the legal criteria, meaning we can't enforce an urban camping ordinance without shelter services.
Right.
So, and how our draft is written does include that. This says we can't arrest someone if they don't accept services, if their services are not available. So a prime example is if a family experiencing homelessness needs shelter, but we do not have any available openings in family shelters in the region, we can't enforce that. And that's, we wrote that specifically because that's not fair to the person, and that's not helping anyone out at that point. Mm-hmm. And so really our enforcement's a last resort.
The last thing I want to ask you, Seth, is a broader question about sort of the message that this sends and the other solutions that might address homelessness from the other side of the issue. Is Surprise working on building affordable housing to try and address this problem or preventative services?
Yes, we are working in partnership with an affordable housing development that will be coming in, that is slated to come in. So we're excited about that. We know affordable housing is one of the main issues around homelessness across our country, mm-hmm. but we are also looking at expanding services. The city this past year has invested just over $20,000 into either direct homeless services or to try to establish maybe some local services through different models. We're looking at increased homeless prevention services. We've added workforce development services, but we also help people, you know, apply for benefits. So as you know, and I think by the way you base your question, you understand that it's not a one kind of one kind of approach. It's a comprehensive approach.
All right. Seth Dyson is the Human Services and Community Vitality Department Director for the City of Surprise. Seth, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me. My pleasure.
But despite the efforts by those in Surprise to take a service-first approach here, ordinances like these are more problematic than they might seem. That's according to Lisa Glow, CEO of CAS, or Central Arizona Shelter Services, the major organization that provides shelter and support services in Phoenix. I also spoke with her this morning about this move by Surprise and her reaction to it.
Well, I'm definitely concerned, but I'm also understanding where they're coming from. And I'm looking at what their intentions actually are. I know some of the elected officials in Surprise, and they're greatly concerned about the rise in homelessness throughout Maricopa County. Mm-hmm. So it's not so cut and dry. The ordinance takes a services first approach. So their intention is to first approach individuals who may be doing urban camping, so-called urban camping, and try to get them into services. So I don't know how they'll enforce it if people refuse services. That's where the challenges will come in.
Yeah, yeah. So walk us through that. I mean, how do ordinances like these generally work? Like, you're not arrested if you're found sleeping in a public park, for example. You're asked to go to a shelter?
That's correct, although across the country, this is a very hot topic and issue, and there have been places where they've criminalized homelessness and arrested people and taken their possessions. So there have been some very interesting legal challenges. The debate is, are we criminalizing homelessness, or are we helping address the health, safety, and welfare of communities? And the underlying major concern is there have been a lot of mass encampments across the country in cities like Portland and Seattle, where they've had real health outbreaks. San Diego, in fact, had a hepatitis outbreak. So how do you deal with that? The legal challenges I'm finding are pretty fascinating, and they range from anything to Eighth Amendment constitutional challenges that happened in Los Angeles a number of years ago. And they settled that case. The ACLU settled in the Jones versus Los Angeles case. Well, once they settled it, because the ordinance was so broad, there was a rise in the number of people that were camping and even more homelessness. Well, that didn't solve this issue. And so now they've passed some tax things that the voters have voted for that's going to help build more affordable housing. They had a tax to fund $1.2 billion of housing, some of it for the chronically homeless. Mm-hmm. So we can't criminalize our way out of this social issue.
Yeah. So I want to talk about one of those points you mentioned. So Phoenix City Councilmember Michael Nowakowski released a statement about this after Surprise passed this ordinance and said there will be times when CAS reaches capacity and can't accept individuals. And he's asking the City of Surprise what will happen then, basically. And as the person in charge at CAS, I'll bring that question to you. What will happen if a city like Surprise is trying to enforce this ordinance in a service-focused way to bring these people into a shelter situation and you're full?
Right. Well, that is a problem because we will have to turn people away. If there's nowhere for them to be sheltered and they get turned away, I think that does present challenges for cities like Surprise or other places if they're bringing their individuals who are experiencing homelessness, the politically correct term, to our campus. And that is happening. So they then could be sued by the ACLU, representing individuals who were turned away, on any of these various constitutional challenges that have been successful in other cities being challenged. So if they don't have sufficient shelter beds, that's what the lawsuits have found, is that you have to provide sufficient shelter beds or do outreach and offer services. So the Surprise ordinance does say the first effort is to offer services, but they certainly don't have the shelter beds, so chances are they will be bringing them to CAS. It's far more complicated, and the problem with these kind of ordinances where we're criminalizing homelessness is we're not really addressing it for what it is, which is a social issue.
Right. Councilman Nowakowski also said that he's calling for a regional approach to the social problem of homelessness, like you say. Do you think that there is a regional approach at this point, or that that needs to happen?
I absolutely think that needs to happen. And I think through the years, the regions throughout Maricopa County, the cities and elected officials have really pulled together to come up with creative solutions to homelessness. CAS was founded 34 years ago in response to a regional outcry for leadership because there were lots of encampments, just like we have today, throughout Maricopa County, but especially in downtown Phoenix. 13 years ago, what's called the Human Services Campus was created in response to a regional approach again. And I think we're at the third wave of a much needed regional approach because homelessness is dramatically on the rise, not just in Arizona, but across the country. It's not getting better. And we don't have the housing, we don't have the shelter, we don't have the mental health services. So we have to have a regional approach.
All right. That's Lisa Glow, Chief Executive Officer of Central Arizona Shelter Services. Lisa, thank you so much for the time this morning.
Thank you.